few of you, and for the rest, we're videotaping this. They can join with us at home and wherever they may be. We're going to dive right in. Grab your Bibles and turn to Mark 3. Okay, we're going to look at four different passages, so grab your Bibles, have them handy. And I will hunt for them along with you so that everyone has time to find them. But Mark 3 is where we're going to start. Starting with verse 1. And today we're talking about Jesus did what? And we're going to talk about healings, four different healings. And how these healings weren't just part of a healing ministry, but part of his entire ministry. Each time something interesting gets tied in with it. They weren't just healings for healing's sake. Just like last week, when we talked about miracles, God wanted Jesus to come to earth. Jesus came to earth to show what was possible. And so we're going to continue with that theme. Jesus shows us what is possible. And so Mark 3, starting with verse 6, we'll read, or starting with verse 1, we'll read through verse 6. Another time Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." All right, for just a second, put yourself in that guy's shoes. Jesus just asked you to stand up in front of everyone. How comfortable are you feeling? Some of us might be like, well, okay. And the others of us are like, oh, no. I didn't ask for this, right? But Jesus says to him, stand up in front of everyone. Then Jesus addresses the crowd. He doesn't even talk to him right away. Then Jesus asked them, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger, and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. So, something miraculous takes place in this passage. Something amazing takes place. And yet, for many of them who were standing in that room or were with Jesus in that moment, they did not see it. They did not want to accept it. They were busy looking at their rules and their religion and were too tied up in those things to really see what Jesus was doing. And Jesus is proving a point that something amazing, good has happened, and they are all too blind to accept it. They're all too stuck in their rules and in their systems to accept the goodness that God is doing, the goodness that God wants to bring. The Message Bible in Matthew 12, verse 7 has this phrase in it. Jesus, it's quoting Jesus, and he translated it like this: I prefer a flexible heart to an inflexible ritual. Think about that for just a second. I prefer a flexible heart to an inflexible ritual. I think that says a whole lot in that statement about what Jesus is trying to get across here to the Pharisees and Herodians that are in the crowd that day and to us. It's important for us to wrestle with that and realize, where are we stuck in ritual? Where are we stuck in tradition? Now, keep in mind, ritual and tradition can serve in certain ways. It can provide a baseline, a practice, a habit that can be healthy. But we must, at the same time, in those rituals and in those routines, be willing to look for God to work in a different way than he has in the past, or in a different way than maybe what we have experienced before. It's a good time to ask the question, what are we missing? Where is God doing something amazing right now and we haven't noticed? I think for many of us, we realize right now we're out of routine. Our lives have been changed. Things are going to be different for the next little while. Where is God in it? God is going to be doing something amazing. Amen? He is going to be doing something amazing. Don't miss it. I know for my family, we've really enjoyed really not having our lives changed all that much and changed a lot at the same time, but we still hang around and play board games and sit at the table and have supper together and meals together. So in some regards, not that much has changed. On the other hand, we've moved kids in from college and have been setting up desks for everyone to study at from home, right, as we transition to an online life for a little while with social distancing. But on the other hand, there are still some things that are routine, right, that are a ritual for us, that are part of our tradition, and that one of those is gathering here this morning. It just feels natural. It just feels normal. And it's something I think our heart and our emotions, our spirit needs. So, we gather together and we worship God on Sunday morning. And obviously we can do that here, and we can do that from our homes. Next passage, Matthew 9. Turn to Matthew 9. In the very first part of Matthew 9, Matthew 9 verses 1 through 8. Okay, so in our first healing, Jesus shows us that God can show up in unexpected ways and do things unexpectedly. That theme will continue. Matthew 9 verses 1 through 8. Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paralyzed man lying on a mat. And what isn't included in Matthew's version here is how is the man presented to Jesus? How many of you remember this story? It's a good Bible Sunday school story. The man gets lowered down on a mat from the roof and in front of Jesus and placed in front of him by some friends. So some men brought him a paralyzed man lying on a mat. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts?" It's an interesting phrase. Why entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." Then the man got up and went home. And when the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given such authority to man. That last phrase, "who had given such authority to man," this was mind-blowing to them. Up until this point, no one could forgive sins, only God. And that process was what Jesus was trying to influence in this moment, in this time, to get people to realize that they could forgive one another and that he had the authority as the Son of God to forgive sins. It was his moment to say, "Guess what, everybody? I'm not exactly what you thought you were going to get when the Messiah came, when the Son of God came." And so everyone was in awe. And what's interesting is, how many of you like two-for-one sales? Go buy something and get something free. I'm a huge fan of buy one, get one free. I may have been known in some of my younger years to go get a buy one burger, get one free deal so that I could eat both burgers. Any of you done that? I certainly have, more than once. And I love two-for-one deals. Well, in this situation, this man comes to Jesus and he needs what kind of healing? He needs physical healing, right? That's the obvious thing. He needs physical healing. But Jesus first addresses the spiritual part. Your sins are forgiven. Something was holding him back. Something had been done in his past that was causing not just physical ailment, but spiritual ailment. And so Jesus, looking deep into his heart, sees the spiritual and addresses that first. And this man gets to walk out that day with a two-for-one deal. He gets to walk away, not just be able to walk, miracle, but he also gets to be free from the burden of the sin that he had been carrying. And that burden was weighing him down physically and spiritually. And man, do we need that kind of healing today. When we say, Jesus did what? We can look and ask him to help us. To look in our own lives, where do we need healing in one area? And maybe it's tied to another. I often mention we are emotional, physical, and spiritual beings. And so many times, hurt in one area can lead to hurt in another area. I have heard many testimonies about people whose fathers were abusive. And that emotional burden influenced and hurt their spiritual life because they couldn't respect a father in heaven because they didn't ever have the father on earth to be a model of that love that should come from a father. Same thing with if someone comes and they have a physical ailment like cancer. And how often if they walk through a time and a trial with this physical ailment, when they walk out, if they have the opportunity later to reflect, they say, you know what? Cancer wrecked, kind of stopped my life and made me take notice of my physical life, but it also, more importantly, made me look at my spiritual life, made me realize that life is short and that I had some things in my spiritual life that needed healing as well. And so when we see things like that over and over again, we see and we recognize that what Jesus did here when he forgave him his sins and then healed him physically, that those things can be tied together. And so when we come to God and we ask for healing, make sure we do an inventory of ourselves, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. Where, God, do I need healing? Where is my deepest hurt? In fact, I was just reading a study, and it was talking about the sin behind the sin, right? Sometimes people can come forward and be like, you know what? This is where I'm struggling, but deep down there's something that lies underneath that that's really the root of that sin. And so to be able to realize that God is the one who can see inside and dig deep for us. So Jesus did what? He didn't just heal physically, he healed spiritually. John 9, turn to John 9. John 9, John is one of the more complete theological writers. He does an incredible job. And so this one's going to give us a little bit of insight into the theology of how God works in healings and how we can approach it, how we can better understand it intellectually and theologically. So, John 9, starting with verse 1, as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? All right, good question, right? Any of you ever wondered that? Why does so-and-so have this ailment? Is it because they sinned? Is it because their parents sinned? Is it because someone else sinned and took it away from them? But Jesus' response, neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. After saying this, he spit in on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who caused or used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. How then were your eyes opened? They asked. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. Where is this man? They asked him. And he answered, I don't know. One little weird thing in this story, I always can't help but wonder, did he know that Jesus spit on the ground? Did he hear it? Or he made some mud and he put it on my eyes. That's the statement he says, right? He has no idea, right? But there were other witnesses who obviously saw the most orthodox way to heal someone, right? We practice that all the time today because once we learn, no, I'm being facetious, obviously. But it speaks to something that the disciples ask a question about. We like, as human beings, we like cause and effect, don't we? We like to know, okay, if this happens, then this is going to happen. If this is the cause, this is going to be the effect. Because with that practice in place, we can figure things out. And we are curious people. We like to figure things out. And so as we start to live our lives and start to grow in our relationships with one another and with God, we see cause and effect. We see things like, you know, if I read this passage one time and God spoke to me in an amazing way, I'm going to make sure I read that passage all the time. And then, you know, 9 months passes and all of a sudden you remember, hey, that passage, you go back to it and you read it again and it has the exact same effect as the last time, right? Not quite. Right? Because the Spirit is fluid. And this is one of the things that Jesus is trying to get across to the disciples. That's why he explains to them what he does. That, you know what? This was done so that I could be glorified. That God the Father could be seen as the one who can insert and see into a life and heal it. He is the one who can come along in a world that is full of brokenness. And that's the biggest thing that he is trying to get at here. This is the message that John is trying to get across. That when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, from that point forward, we are all broken. And some of us will be like, yeah, we're sinful, okay? We were born sinful and we know that part of the theology. What sometimes gets missed, sometimes gets forgotten, is that when we're born, we're not just broken spiritually, but we're broken physically and emotionally. There are things in us that are broken from the time we're born. And God is the one who gets to be glorified when those areas of brokenness get brought before him. So some of us might be more apt to be apathetic, and others might be more inclined to be highly anxious or stressful or wound up tight, and others might be willing to just believe anything that comes along, right? Gullible or naive. I've been called naive before, and sometimes I'm like, yeah, I know I'm naive, right? It's one of those ways in which I was, you know, naturally steered towards as a person. God knows that. God knows when we're born how we are broken physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And so when we look at a situation where we see a need or a hurt or brokenness, we must realize that God is the one who can see into it in each and every situation. He knows the cause, and he knows how it plays out. He knows the effect. And sometimes that cause might not be able to be drawn specifically to a situation or a circumstance that happened here on earth in our lives. Now, obviously, there are other times where we can draw clear lines, and that's something that gives us great peace sometimes. We can be like, you know what? My life started to fall off the rails when I started drinking too much, or when I just started drinking, right? And after a number of years, I saw that was the cause, and the effect was my spiritual life was broken. And there can be all kinds of examples like that, right, that we can understand. And Jesus comes along and says, you know what, disciples, yes, sometimes there is a cause and then there's the effect, and we can see the effect. Other times, it's just how we were born. It's how we were created. And that sin, that total depravity, if you will, is what takes, what influences some of the effects from times. And so he teaches us that not everything can be figured out, not intellectually at least. And I know that can be frustrating for some people, and it can be soothing to others. One last passage, Luke 5. Turn to Luke 5. So as a quick recap, as we find that Jesus did what? He healed a shriveled man's hand on the Sabbath to show us that, guess what? The Son of God is the Son of the Sabbath, and he is looking for soft hearts, not inflexible rituals, right? And then he comes along and he gives a 2-for-1 and probably even a 3-for-1 in that case. Physical, spiritual, and emotional healing, all linked and tied together. And then he also shows us that, yes, sometimes there is cause and effect, and sometimes not so much, not so easy for us to depict and see and understand. And so we just have to have faith in God to be able to minister to those areas in our lives where we're hurting and where we have pain. Then we have Luke 5, starting at verse 12. Just a short little passage here, 12 through 16. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go. Show yourself to the priest and other and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." An action that is a testimony. I always love those. Yet the news spread about him all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. We get to see this man with leprosy in an incredible way. We get to see his heart. Because the first thing we hear about him is he comes and he falls face to the ground in front of Jesus. An incredible act of humility. Then we hear these words, "If you can," if you are willing, right? If, that's an important word. He's not demanding Jesus to forgive him. He's not trying to show incredible faith by saying, "Do this," but he is showing incredible faith by saying, "If you are willing, Lord, you can make me clean." And just that action of falling face down to the ground and asking the Lord, "If you are willing, you can make me clean," show something about his heart, that he has a humility and a willingness to accept whatever God's plan for him is. That if it's healing, wonderful, great, I know you're able to. But if not, my faith won't be hindered. My faith will not be changed if you do not heal me. When it comes to that first part, falling face first, face to the ground before God, how many of you have ever done that? How many of you have ever gotten down on your knees, on your elbows, face to the ground in front of the Lord? What an incredible act of faith, right? Unbelievable humility for him to do that. And not just, you know, humility, but we also see something in the work there that I like to call desperate faith. Desperate for healing, desperate for a moment in front of Jesus. And here's the fascinating thing. Jesus is a busy guy at this time. He is moving about in his ministry. Things are really rolling. People are coming to him all the time. That's why that last phrase, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He had to have those moments of respite because the ministry was exploding. People were continuously chasing him down and finding him and asking, looking for healing and looking for teaching and wisdom and everything else that he had exemplified so far in his ministry. And in all the midst of that, yet, there are moments like this. And I think it should speak to us when we can take a moment and fall before Jesus. So I'm going to ask us to do a prayer exercise together. And I want you to first just think about what is an area of your life that you would desire God's hand to touch it. Maybe you're struggling with something physically. Maybe you're struggling with something emotionally. Or maybe you're struggling with something spiritually. Maybe there's something, some hurt, some sort of missing opportunity within your life that you can recognize and that you've been struggling with and wrestling with. I want us to think about that and then put ourselves in his shoes, in the man with leprosy's shoes. Close our eyes and listen to this. While Jesus is in one of the towns, you come along and you are carrying your hurt, whatever that hurt may be. And when you see Jesus, you fall with your face to the ground and you beg him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can take away my hurt." Then Jesus reaches his hand out and touches you and says, "I am willing. Be clean." And immediately your hurt is lifted away. It's an incredible opportunity, Lord, that you give us. So we come before you this morning, Heavenly Father, and we thank you for your word, and we thank you that your healing ministry continues to today and in through today until unto tomorrow. We know you are Rapha God, the healer God, and you sent your son Jesus Christ to show us that that healing isn't just physical, isn't just spiritual, and isn't just emotional, but it is all those things combined together. So Lord, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your Holy Spirit, for your continued ministry on this earth. And Lord, we put ourselves before you and make ourselves willing vessels to be the light that you provided, to be the light in our community and in our world and in our relationships. Lord, we know that we are sinful, sinful from birth, and so we come before you and we confess our sins and we ask you for forgiveness. We ask for a softened heart to accept your grace and your mercy. And for the confidence, boldness, and courage that is needed to move forward in ministry, to take steps in faith towards you, Jesus. And we thank you for your life, death, resurrection, and ascension, Jesus. For the gift of the Holy Spirit that ministers to us and through us and around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Could have went on and on with all the miracles of healing that Jesus did. I had a whole list, more about leprosy, with 10 of them coming who had leprosy and they all get healed and they go away, right? I even thought of the one where Peter slices the ear off right as Jesus is being arrested. And what does Jesus do? He's being arrested, yet he heals a guy's ear, right? And the list goes on and on and on. And as John wrote in the end of his book, if all of the stories, if all of the healings and teachings that Jesus did in his short lifespan were written, there wouldn't be enough books in the world to cover it all, to write it all. And so we know that there's an infinite amount more of those kind of stories and ways in which Jesus shows us what is possible. I just have a couple announcements that I'm going to share at this time. The offering plates are going to be, are they in the back? I never even looked. Yeah, they're still up there. If you have offering, we'll just invite you to go drop it off up there after the service when the girls are singing and stuff like that, instead of passing them around. There is also an opportunity to give online. So if you want to go, you can just give online, redriverchurch.org. Pretty sure that's what it's called. Just Google Red River Church, West Fargo. And on that website, there is a page for giving, especially for our online listeners this morning and throughout the rest of the day when they get a chance to listen to this. So check that out. We'll also continue to send out emails as far as updates about what we're going to do with worship services and everything else going on here at church. We also plan on sometime this week just offering a time of prayer and worship, and we'll just do that through social media outlets, Facebook and YouTube, and we'll get that information out when we have a chance to get that done. Other than that, we're glad the few people who are here came, and we're practicing social distancing for you at home. We're all nice and spread out in here this morning. We're going to continue to, for sure, have online services, and we'll keep in touch, especially just depends on what leadership feels in our heart, what we're going to do the next few weeks, and obviously we're just going to continue to keep all our loved ones in our prayers and protect them as much as possible from the spread of the coronavirus. With that, you know, we don't have a normal order, so no offering. What are we doing next? You guys just have final song? Okay, well then we can stand up. I could go right into benediction, right? Just going to use the old prayer that I read a number of years ago, and I decided to put it into memory. But may the peace of Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness and protect you through the storms. And may he bring you home rejoicing into his love. Amen.
Thank you. Have a great week. Well, Jordy took what I was going to say. Please stick around for the last song.
Everything I am, the source of all my heart, and it's a reason why I say, yeah, yeah.